Thanks, Brendan, and good morning. Yesterday, we were clumped back into lockdown. And whatever you think about the necessity of this or our government, I think we can all agree that it's a trigger for anxiety. When QB sent through their guidelines yesterday morning, they concluded with this verse. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. And I think this fits well with the message this morning. So last Christmas, I was given a gift that I didn't really like. I don't want to say what it was because I don't want to offend anybody. But I knew that they'd purchased it from Robin's Kitchen Shop down at the plaza. Anyway, I went to the shop and told the person at the counter my story. And they looked at the item and said, yes, we can give you a full refund of $50. Or we can give you a voucher for a free milkshake down at Wendy's. And I thought, what cheek. Does this person really think they can trick me? They're trying to rip me off. And as I walked away with my free Wendy's milkshake, I thought, you'd have to do much better than that to trick me. We Christians are often fooled by the world into behaving just like them. We even chuckle to ourselves while quite proud of how we don't act like the world. Jesus has always been offering us a better way. But all too often we're happy with our milkshake voucher. Sin has impacted us so deeply that we don't even recognise that God has offered us. And we are blind to the fact that the way of this world is ripping us off. A couple of weeks ago we saw that Jesus is teaching us how to live in this world according to his melody. But the original disciples like us keep getting the world's song stuck in our head. Our world today revolves around money. Advertising is designed to take advantage of our selfishness, our fears, our anxiety, and our pride. What they actually do is create anxiety in us and then offer us the solution of more stuff. And it works too. The effects of an ad campaign can be long-lasting, even long after the product has become obsolete or non-existent. What does the phrase, "not happy Jan," bring to mind? The Yellow Pages, or My Dad Picks the Fruit, the Cottage Cordial Ad. Companies expect that they'll get a whole lot of money back in sales because of these ads. And the result for us is being left in a state of anxiety. What's worse is that very few of these ads would stand the test of time. What's the Yellow Pages? And the point of the My Dad Picks the Fruit ad was that Australian made and owned is best, but now Cottage is owned by a Japanese company. But I still remember these ads because they were designed to get into my head, to manipulate me into buying their product. And while the ads themselves don't stand the test of time, my anxiety continues. It would be too easy to blame the marketing companies, but we don't actually need marketing departments to tempt us to buy stuff, do we? I don't actually think I've ever seen an ad for a saxophone. And yet, I have a few. And I'd like to buy some more. The problem is actually me. And this is what Jesus is addressing here. We have an option. He is offering us a different way of living. The way he designed us to live. This is what Jesus is addressing. We can choose the kingdom of God and his peace, or we can choose the kingdom of this present evil age and its anxiety-producing stuff. And sin has caused our hearts to choose the latter. Here we read some of Jesus' most famous words. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For Jesus, the target is our hearts. The innermost parts of us, Jesus is referring to his rule in our lives. If our hearts are set on things of this world, selfish accumulation of stuff, excessive living, the hard-heartedness towards the world's poor and oppressed, this love of things results in the tethering of our hearts to this world. When we value Jesus' teaching and God's rule in our lives, we enter an adventure into a new realm. And this is the problem. We kind of like being tethered to this earth. We feel safe because we remain in the known. But we never find anything other than what we already know. It's like standing on the beach and looking across the water. We'll never discover what's across that sea, while we wade in water only a few metres from shore. But it's those who have actually got into a boat and left the shore entirely who have found new worlds. For us to begin living under the rule of God means leaving the ways of this world behind. And this new kingdom is free of anxiety. Jesus says, if you set your heart on God, there'll be no reason to be anxious. And this is where I've heard some atrocious sermons over the years. Because anxiety is complex. And a simple platitude doesn't help. A few years ago, I came across a comedy sketch by Bob Newhart. Bob is playing the role of a psychologist. It begins with a woman named Catherine coming into his office for counselling. And after some introductions agreement of cost, Bob says, so tell me about the problem you wish to address. And she says, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box. I just start thinking about being buried alive and I begin to panic. And Bob asks the obvious question, has anyone ever tried to bury you alive in a box? She replies no, and then describes how it does impact her life, including being in anything that's boxy, like a house. And he says, okay, well, I'm going to say two words to you, and I want you to listen to them very, very carefully, and then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life. And she gets her writing pad out to write them down, and Bob asks, are you ready? Here they are. Stop it! And Catherine, she's a bit taken back by this, and says, sorry? And Bob repeats, stop it! S-T-O-P, new word, I-T. And the sketch goes on, and I won't ruin the end for you, because some of you may want to search it up later. But do you think this approach helps? Not in the slightest. And yet this is almost exactly the advice I have heard given from the pulpit. It does sound easy. Jesus saying, don't worry about your life, does sound a bit like stop it. But how does that go down when we're feeling anxious in lockdown? Those who have lost casual work hours because of the lockdown. Those who live alone and can't see people because of the lockdown. What about for those of us in Kiwanis Life Family who have serious health conditions? I don't think that saying, do not worry about your life, to them, is really what Jesus is saying here. In my experience, someone saying these words to someone has only served to increase my anxiety. Because now I worry about the fact that I'm worrying that I must be doing something wrong. I believe there's real encouragement for people in their anxiety in these verses. But the encouragement does not come from me saying, stop it. I also believe that there's a call to action for those of us who claim to be followers of Jesus. Recently in our home group, we had a discussion about the anxiety of the few of us were facing. One of the guys said that the idea of casting our anxieties on God had been of real comfort in recent times. So here, Paul writes to the church in Philippi, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. Peter 2 says something similar. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. 1 Peter 4, 5 to 7. I'm sure this has been the experience of many of us, but neither verse is simply saying stop it. They both talk of the fact that Jesus is there with you in the anxiety. They both talk of the fact that you are not alone. Also, there's no expectation to cast off anxiety before Jesus will help. Paul says the peace of God will transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. And Peter says, by humbling yourselves under God's mighty hand, he will lift you up in due time. The anxiety may be replaced by the peace of God, or we may remain in anxiety until we are lifted in due time. But either way, Jesus is with us. But also I believe there's a call for us to be Jesus' hands and feet when we know that people in our church, in our oikos, are struggling, we can encourage and serve them. Never underestimate the ministry of presence. Being present in someone's life when they are struggling is a great sign of love. Jesus ends his passage with the words, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well." This is the way we seek God's kingdom. Yesterday, Donnie sent out a short video encouraging us to make that phone call, send the text, or find another way to encourage those around us. Living the way of the kingdom is simply this, in the words of the Apostle John, "Little children, love one another." Now, I need to make a confession as I close. The illustration I used at the beginning of this message was stolen from a friend. I did ask for permission to steal it, but I do wish it was mine. It's my favourite illustration because even now, so many years later, it still reminds me that I am so easily fooled into living like the world. I accept something far less than what Jesus has offered me. I'm missing out. We are called the way to live the way of the kingdom. It's far more than we could ever imagine. And when we practice the ministry of presence in other people's pain, we bring a little bit of the kingdom into their lives. Let me close in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning humbly and with thanksgiving. You know that many of us are experiencing anxiety. Some of us are anxious about the lockdown. Some of us are anxious about medical appointments, our work situation, or school. And some of us are anxious that we can't even put our finger on why. We want to cast our anxieties onto you this morning, Lord. Give us a sense of your peace that goes beyond understanding, and lift us up in due time. Help us to see how the ways of this world are manipulating us, and lead us to live the way of your kingdom today. Prompt us to reach out to those in our families and communities this week. Help us to love one another. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.